You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, and welcome to the Light Show. On the second Wednesday of each month, myself, Father John Cusick, and my associate, Dr. Catherine DeVries, have the privilege of spending an hour with you. We direct the Catholic Church's office in the Archdiocese of Chicago to young adults, those women and men, whether married or single, in their 20s and 30s. And this morning, instead of having a little gab session and talking about the various aspects of perhaps the young adult world, we're going to do something very, very different. We're going to focus this December 8th on the Blessed Mother, and we're going to focus on this being the second week of Advent. And so let's begin by my saying good morning to my associate, Kate DeVries.
Good morning, Father Cusick, and good morning, everyone. We're delighted to be with you this Advent day during the second week of Advent.
And so we hope that for the next, oh, let's say 45, 50 minutes or so, we're going to be in a little bit more of a reflective mood. We're going to share some music. We're going to share some scriptures, share some reflections. We're just going to have an Advent morning together, and we're going to begin that with the one who birthed Christ to the world, our Blessed Mother, this being the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and in 4 days, another Mary feast descends certainly upon the Mexican community, and that's the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So Mary plays a very prominent part during Advent, and we give honor and praise to her this day on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception.
All of our music today that you will hear is being generously provided by World Library Publications, so we want to thank them, and we'd like to begin with a song by Aaron Thompson called Blessed One.
O bright Mother of Mercy, so pure and so brave, we honor your virtue and dignity praise. Every angel salutes you, the earth calls you blessed. We look to you, Mother, for mercy and rest.
Assisted by grace.
Amen. mercy and light. Oh, pray we embrace peace and good, love and right. You are splendid, enthroned above moon, star and earth. Oh, queen of the heavens, your son saved the world.
On this feast of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we proclaim the Gospel according to St. Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you."
Mary was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her,
"O Mary, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you will bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end."
Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?"
"The Holy Spirit, Mary, will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Now behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For you see, nothing will be impossible for God."
And Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word."
Then the angel departed from Mary. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked upon his handmaid's lowliness. Behold, from now on will all ages call me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is from age to age to all who fear him. He has shown might with his arm, dispersed the arrogant of mind and heart. He has thrown down the rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the lowly. The hungry he has filled with good things, the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped Israel his servant, remembering his mercy, according to his promise to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever.
Thank you. If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Meyer Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your community.
Welcome back. I'm Father John Cusick, and along with Dr. Kate DeVries, on this, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception during the second week of Advent this year, we're taking this wonderful time given to us on a monthly basis to simply do a little reflection this morning. Prayerful, musical, scriptural, to focus a little bit on the one who gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ, Mary, and the great announcement from Gabriel. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. And in many ways, Mary's response was the Magnificat, which Kate shared with us from the Gospel of Luke before we went out on our last break. Kate, I found a wonderful reflection on the Magnificat, and let me share that with you and with those who are taking this little Advent journey with us this morning.
Great.
And here it goes. About the Magnificat. When I sing this song of Mary, I feel that she takes my hand and leads me, looking ahead at a path that I cannot see. Then she looks back, checking my willingness, making sure I am not pulling back, or worse, making sure I'm not turning back. Although she does not say so, her smile tells me she is happy. We are traveling together, and still more. She cannot wait to show me our destination. Our journey is a descent inward and downward. We pull away from the social traffic, from the competitions of our outer world, from the fray whose fights define me, from the noise that smothers the whisperings of the spirit. I have all of those reluctantly, and I leave them. This is the world that I know. Yet Mary senses my foot dragging. She says, we will return, and you will see it differently. She closes her eyes, and I, her follower, do the very same. We enter the inner landscape of the body. Every sensation is allowed, every pleasure and pain embraced. We float in the rivers of my veins. Then another chamber opens. We are on the balcony of the mind. watching the dance of thought and feeling. Everything is moving. I could linger in these unfolding dramas. Ah, but she is a step ahead, urging me forward. We are almost there, she says. Where? I ask. She does not look at me. Her pace has quickened. The place where the spirit rejoices, she says. Now suddenly, we are in the center without a circumference. The umbilical cord to God is uncut. Divine life flows into us, turning our lowliness into largeness, magnifying the life that blesses us. And everything that is drives towards everything else that is. We rest in Holy Communion. So this is the other side of fear, I say. Mercy, she says, and the word expands, filling space and time until everything is pregnant. And I know now how we keep ourselves from this fullness, how proud thoughts scatter us, how riches bring us famine, how ruling over others keeps us from service, how from generation to generation we seek but cannot find the promise that fired the hearts of Abraham and Sarah. I look around now. Mary is gone. Her work is done. She has called to guide another singer of her song. Without her presence and protection, the clamor returns to claim me, to sever my world, body, mind, and heart from one another, to reduce me to chaos, to deny my identity, to blur my vision. Only the memory of her hand in mine keeps me aware, and I am meant to cooperate with the love that is reshaping the world.
My soul is filled with joy as I sing to God, my Savior. You have looked upon your servant. You have visited your people, and holy is your name through all generations. Everlasting is your mercy to the people you have chosen. Child, but I know from this day forward that my name will be remembered, for all will call me blessed, and holy is your name through all generations. Everlasting is your mercy to the people chosen, and holy is your name. In your love you now fulfill what you promised to your people. I will praise you, Lord, my Savior. Everlasting is your mercy, and holy your name through all generations. Everlasting is your mercy to the people you have chosen, and holy is your name. Father Cusick, how about together we invite our listeners to pray with us the Hail Mary?
That would be wonderful.
And so we
pray. And so all of us together, whether you're home, you're in your car, whether you're working out and you've downloaded this from our website, wherever we may be, let's pause and say that prayer that's generated by Angel Gabriel. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. What a wonderful opportunity this day, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, to have an opportunity to just reflect for a little while. It's a busy time of the year. There's a lot of things going on. And so I'm privileged that we have this opportunity today to sort of kick back a little bit and just be together, share some of these wonderful, simple little songs. And the last song you heard was done live here by Kate DeVries
wow.
in my studio. And we're going to go out and take a break, and we're going to come right back.
Dios te salve, María. Llena eres de gracia, el Señor está contigo. Dios te salve María, bendita eres tú entre todas mujeres, y bendito es el fruto de tu vientre, Jesús. Ave María, tú que siempre has sido guía, ora siempre por nuestras vidas, unidas hoy en este día. Ave María, goza también en mi alegría, sabemos bien, oh Madre mía, en el amor se da la vida. Dichosa eres tú por haber creído que se cumpliría la palabra de Dios. Ave María, tú que siempre has sido guía, ora siempre por nuestras vidas, unidas hoy en este día. Ave María, goza también en mi alegría, sabemos bien, oh Madre mía, que en el amor se da la vida. Ave María, Ave María, Ave María.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18-1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Help unwrap the holiday spirit this season with Catholic Charities' annual Celebration of Giving. Catholic Charities invites you to help children and their families experience the joy and magic of the holiday spirit. Sponsor a family, donate a toy, or volunteer with us during the season. For more details, visit www.catholiccharities.net/celebration or call our hotline at 312-226-0650. That's 312-226-0650.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
The Feast of the Immaculate Conception, the Mary Feast, situates itself this year, every year on December 8th, but this year it's the second week of Advent, Tuesday of the second week of Advent. And Advent is a very special and I think underappreciated time of the year, Kate. Anywhere you go, we leave our studio today to go back to the Young Adult Ministry office. It's going to be Christmas out there. There's going to be lights, and if we were to stop in a store, I'm sure some of the background music already is going to be Christmas carols.
Well into it, ever since even Halloween. Oh my gosh, yeah. It started so early this year.
And yet, in the church, it's a time of preparation. It's a time of almost quiet and solitude. It's a time of repentance. It's almost the antithesis to the popular culture that's out there. So I think what we'd like to do, if that's okay with you folks, not that you have much to say about it.
Because we're doing it anyway.
We're putting the show together.
But we're doing it for you, so we
that's
hope you
right.
enjoy it.
Is that we want to turn our attention a little bit to the significance and really to the importance of Advent. And really, the hint of it, Kate, came in what we did in the first part of our show today. And that is, Mary was called by the angel Gabriel to say yes to the plan of God to birth the Savior of the world in flesh and in time. And in St. John's Gospel, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's what the Advent's about. It's looking for the Lord. And then maybe another way to say it, it's how do we today give life to the Lord? How do we birth Christ to the world? It always comes from within. And it extends itself out to the world, very much like a physical birth does. A spiritual birth does the same thing. Something comes from within, and hopefully it can touch and begin to dwell in that world around us. And so, Kate, I'm going to ask you a simple question, and I'm going to ask you if you would share with all of us today, myself included, how do we, this Advent 2010, give birth and give life to the Lord Jesus Christ?
You know, Father Cusick, one of my most powerful experiences of giving birth to Christ was something that I realized after it had happened, and I'd written a reflection on it. So that's what I'd like to share right now. The very first out-of-state field trip I coordinated through the Young Adult Ministry office was a whitewater rafting trip through the Grand Canyon. I am a water person. I love it. There were 30 of us on that trip. It was late in August. We signed up and we set sail in two 15-foot rafts. And these were motorized rafts. We didn't even have to paddle. It was all set up for us. The very first hour, I was completely in awe. The air temperature was a steady 90 degrees or so, which was fine because we periodically were splashed by refreshingly cool water as we slowly trolled through mile after mile of the Colorado River. The walls of the canyon were deep swirling shades of brown and red. The sky was a pure, beautiful blue, and I didn't have a care in the world. This was an easy vacation. What little we brought was safely tucked away in waterproof storage. Everything we ever needed was graciously provided. Even our meals were prepared for us. Delicious meals, cooked on the grill by our expert guides, who were also young adults. The second hour, I was still in awe. Breathe in that fresh, warm air, and what we wouldn't give for that now, and soak in all that sunshine. Just sit back and relax. Life is good. No rat race out here. Nowhere to be. Nothing to do. No agenda. Just enjoy. No phones. Even if you had your cell phone, you couldn't get any reception. No computers within hundreds of miles. No email. No web to surf. God's beautiful world. Just be. Then, the third hour, it hit me. There was nowhere to be. There was really nothing to do. I'd never done any serious camping before. Is this all there is? 5 days and 4 nights of tooling around in a boat? No phones, no computer, no email, no TV, no newspaper, no news. No electricity, no hot showers. What had I done? No toilets. There was a rule, there still is a rule in the canyon. Everything you bring in, you also had to bring back out. Everything. Whose idea was this anyway? Suddenly those beautiful canyon walls were closing in, almost laughing at me. "Kate, get a grip," I heard some inner voice say. "This is what normal people call a vacation. Vacation, to vacate, to make empty, to set aside the routine of life, to stop working for just a little while, to take a break, to rest, to relax." So what was my problem? What did I expect? What did I need to do to relax? Then I heard that inner voice again. It said, "Pray." I did pray. In the silence of that morning, I reached deep into my innermost self, and I prayed hard. I remember a thought that seemingly invaded my prayer. That thought said that it was time to either let go or jump overboard and swim back to civilization the way we'd come. Then yet another voice came from somewhere deep inside, saying, "Trust me. You're fine. I'm here. Everything's all right." I held tight to that voice, and everything was all right. After tooling along for another hour or two, our guide steered the raft into a sandy beach, and we hiked deep into the canyon. There we found the first of several fabulous waterfalls. We then had a gourmet lunch, went for a swim, and climbed back into the rafts. I was starting to settle in. Another few hours went by before we pulled over again. This time to set up camp and figure out how to bathe in the great outdoors, in water that stayed a constant 40 degrees or so, and enjoy another fine meal. Then we pulled out some decks of cards and relaxed away the evening until it became too dark to see anything at all. It was a glorious but very quick sunset over the far rim of the canyon. As soon as the sun bid us good night, it became cooler. We all had sleeping bags, but none of us ever used them. If you got a bit chilled, you simply moved your cot closer to the canyon wall, which was radiating the heat it had been absorbing all day. That wall, which I previously thought was laughing at me, now extended a warming embrace. We were all very tired, but somehow still wide awake in the depths of the darkness that enveloped us. Donna was the first to see a star, then another. Then another. One by one, the stars brightened the sky. We watch them dance and play with one another, putting on a spectacular show before us. Shooting stars were everywhere. Why hadn't we ever seen this before? Not long after came the moon, nearly full. Its brightness brought a glow to the river, the sand, the canyon walls, to all of creation. There really is such a thing as moon shadows. They were everywhere. Some people pulled out the cards again. It was bright enough to see. Others, like myself, just stared at the sky, mesmerized by the twinkling stars and the magnificent streams of light. The canyon had a life of its own. How privileged I was to see it. How grateful I was to be there. I could feel a top layer of stress begin to melt away as I drifted off to sleep, wondering what adventures awaited us the next day. We all are on a journey through Advent. The first challenge of that journey is a two-sided coin. It's like we flip it into the air and it spins and spins, and finally it lands on Christmas Eve. On the one side of that coin, I've come to learn even deeper, is letting go. Because we are interested in walking a new way, and in order to walk a new path, we have to leave an old one behind. So the question is, where in your life do you need to loosen your grip on a situation or in a relationship, or even open your hand and let something go completely? What comforts or bad habits have you and I held on to that now we need to let go in order to make way for new life? We as Catholics have a wonderful tool to help us in that letting go. It's the sacrament of reconciliation. It's available at every parish. It's free, and it's freeing. Many parishes are hosting a reconciliation service between now and Christmas, where we can all receive the sacrament within the context of a beautiful service with scripture and preaching and music and prayer. Don't worry if you haven't been in a while. The priest will guide you through the process. It's all meant to help us get free of whatever holds us bound so that we can be more fully alive. And what a wonderful gift to give ourselves at Christmas. So, one side of the coin is letting go. The other side of that coin is being open. Because once you let go, things become clearer. Advent is an invitation to be open to all the marvels that surround us. To be open to whatever we might see and hear and feel, taste and experience. Once you're free, you can see so much more deeply. But if you're not open to the possibility, the trip ends prematurely, and who knows what you might have missed. So I'm proposing today that Advent is a kind of trip down the Colorado River. It's time out from our ordinary routines, where wonderful adventures await, if we're open to them. Advent is a special time, a sacred time. It's a season to rejoice in God's journey with us and deliberately to focus on our journey with God and how exciting it is to be still and let those inner voices speak to us, much like the voices that calmed me down those first few hours of the trip. So every year we pull out our mangers and decorate our homes and prepare our hearts for the birth of Christ anew in our midst. In our churches we join John the Baptist in the desert. We talk about the holy mountain where the lion and the lamb rest together in peace. In essence, we relive the journey of the Magi, those kings in search of the Christ child.
Wow.
Cool.
Yes.
That was a great trip, Father Cusick. I wish you'd have been with us on that one.
We had
so much fun.
It's a wonderful Advent journey.
Woo.
And there is a real parallel. You know, we heard John the Baptist say on Sunday, prepare the way of the Lord. Mm. And here's a way. You were journeying down a river, and you saw the parallels, and you saw the different experiences mm-hmm. that are there.
Mm-hmm. And the fear was real, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
But something about the stillness and the quiet and just learning to be.
How about we concretize that a little bit?
Okay.
You know, great reflections have to be like the Word made flesh. They have mm-hmm. to become real for us. And giving birth to Christ really is our spiritual journey.
Mm-hmm.
And Take us through that a little bit.
All right.
Some strategies.
Some strategies. First, I think you have to make the decision to go on the journey. Somewhere along the way, like Mary, you've just got to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to set out. You could say no and stay home, but saying yes opens up so much possibility. We've got all sorts of models of people who have said yes. Mary said yes. Joseph said yes. The Magi said yes. The shepherds said yes. Herod did not say yes, and consequently, he never found the child. Another option, again, just to be open to possibility. Be open to the Spirit of God and flow with it. Cooperate with it. Go wherever it takes you. We are so busy at this time of year. It's really, really
sure.
hard to focus on the things that matter most. But if we can just pause a couple of minutes a day, a couple of moments as you start your work day, as you before you go to sleep, we're lighting candles in our church to light a candle in our home. Pause and be open to possibility. Never give in to anything as being impossible, because in God, all things are possible. A third strategy, to be prepared to change your mind, to change your thinking. The Greek word is metanoia. It means to literally turn and go a different way. And we might be asked to go in a way we don't want to go, but we are invited to accept the challenge and try something different, to walk a new path. And fourthly, if you're serious about finding the child of God, to trust in the Word. Mary is our best example of trust. She trusted. Behold, Mary, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And Mary's response, let it be done to me according to your word. We have all sorts of examples of people trusting.
Sure.
And lastly, if you're serious about finding the child of God, never give up. It's far better to search and come up empty than to settle for anything less. Be open to truth and grace and let God guide the way. And I don't think we'll be disappointed.
No. You know, the difficulty is that it's counterculture.
Yeah.
You know, and I can hear people saying, boy, that's really nice, but.
Sounds good. Yeah.
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 But, well,
not right now.
About taking the journey, Kate, on Sunday, I offered people a very practical suggestion during my homily.
Okay.
I said, take a walk.
Mm.
Literally. Go out for a walk.
Yeah.
Add a few minutes to your lunch hour if you can. If you can go home, take a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And just be with yourself.
Yeah.
It's not exercise. It's just to journey a little bit. If you go around the block, just do it so that somehow the inner voice that is a part of all of us, and that's the pregnancy of Mary. She was filled with the Lord. And then, to secondly, while we're taking a walk, maybe simply say, what gets in the way sometimes?
Mm.
You know, what gets in the way of that path?
Right.
And we can't answer those questions, but I think you've given me the idea that maybe I wasn't too wrong yesterday suggesting to people that they take a walk, literally, during Advent.
Yeah.
You may be in the darkness of the night if you live in a neighborhood where you're not going to get mugged, you know.
Or, and it's dark so early now, Father Cusick.
4:30,
is, you know,
goodness. But whatever.
Yeah.
What I'd like to do, folks, if we can, just for a few minutes we have left, is just to root some of these Advent experiences in the great traditions of the Church. What's interesting is that the church, when we come into church on Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent was at the end of the Thanksgiving weekend, and so it just didn't seem to work. All of a sudden, you go from Thanksgiving, you come in, the vestments the priests are wearing are purple, or they're a sort of a type of a blue, and then there's like, O come, Emmanuel.
Right. New music.
There's new music,
colors.
And there's candles, and there's all different. And you say, "What? Hey, what's going on here?" Well, I think to appreciate it. Let me do it negatively. It's very hard to appreciate Advent in our culture, in our society today, because the symbols come from a time when people literally lived off the earth. We don't live off the earth. We go to the food store.
Yeah.
Dominick's, the Jewel, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, we get our food, we're fine. And to understand, folks, and to appreciate the Advent and consequently the Christmas season, we have to understand that they were deeply in touch with what was going on outside of themselves, namely The weeks in which we find ourselves right now are the four darkest weeks of the year. Each of the 4 weeks of December, there is a little less light in the first week of Advent, more less light, if there's such a word, wow, is the second week of Advent, so on and so forth. And so there's a metaphor here, light and dark. And keep in mind, too, that most Catholic masses were celebrated very early in the morning. These were rural people. They lived in simple towns. And they would go to church 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. We're talking hundreds of years ago. And it was pitch dark. Mm-hmm. And there was no electricity. And the earth was frozen. And what they needed more than anything else to survive was for the sun to return, to lengthen the days, to warm the earth, to throw the seeds into the earth, and for the earth to bear fruit, namely food, and they would live one more year. Darkness was their enemy. Light was their savior. And you can see how all of these just connect to our religious stories. So if you can, folks, use your imagination. It's dark. It's early December, very late November. You come into church on a Sunday morning, and there's a one candle that comes up the aisle with the priest. And they sing some version of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, or whatever they would sing that would look for the light to overcome the darkness. And then when it got even darker, on the following Sunday, there were two lights. And when it got even darker, a procession of three lighted candles entering a dark church lit only by candlelight. And then, on the Sunday before the shortest day of the year, there was even more light in the darkness, the fourth Advent candle. And each of those candles was placed in what we now call an Advent wreath. Well, interestingly, folks, the earliest Advent wreath was probably a wagon wheel. It was just put on its side, but there was a great symbolism there. It's a circle. It's like those of you who wear a wedding band. It has no beginning, and it has no end. It's a sign that there is a constant presence for whom there is no beginning and there's no end that is always a part of our lives. And then, amazingly, they wrapped that old wheel in evergreen. Why? Everything in the earth is different than it was in July. All the colors are gone. There's one color that's not gone. It's the evergreen tree, which later on becomes the Christmas tree. It's a constant, unchanging presence in the world of the earth where everything is changing. And so they took their boughs, wrapped them around their circular wheel. They implanted their candles, and there is their Advent wreath. Is it got lighter each week as the world got darker. And then, Kate, several, three, 4 days later, they returned to celebrate the light of the world, the return of the Son of God. As the popular culture early on in Christian history celebrated the return of the sun, the Christian community said, hey, guess what? So do we. We're going to celebrate the return of the Son of God. We will prepare for that. As the earth gets darker, we will keep adding light. And when the sun begins its journey from the darkness of the sky, moving for the next 6 months, we will sing, Come, Lord Jesus, and we will celebrate the return of the sun. Now, a couple things I'd like to suggest to you. You know, number one, try in the next couple of weeks, go to daily mass. Get up early. Go to a daily mass in the quiet and put yourself in the presence of the Lord. Another suggestion during these Advent days, as Kate has mentioned to it, find a reconciliation service. All the churches have them. And put yourself in that experience of just moving away a little bit from some of the experiences. And then thirdly, I'm going to give you a website, sacredspace.ie. And lastly, I want you to share your giftedness with someone else. And we have a very special way to do that, don't we?
Yes, Christina Gable is on the phone. Good morning, Christina. How are you?
Morning, Kate.
Good morning.
Sorry to keep you hanging on, Christina. Christina, could you tell us real briefly, our time is short today because we're celebrating the Immaculate Conception with Mass right after our show, but could you tell us briefly what you're up to and what's happening through Young Adult Ministry?
Yeah, definitely. We have a great opportunity for young adults around the Archdiocese today. It's kind of an older tradition with a new spin. We have an online giving tree that young adults can participate in, and young adults can go on the YAM Chicago website, the Young Adult Ministry for Chicago website, and they can click on the Christmas tree, and they can see a list of items that are needed by seniors this year, and we particularly chose seniors because, you know, a lot of families and children get attention around Christmas time on the Christmas trees, on the giving trees, but we really want to reach out to seniors who are lonely and just might need, you know, books and, you know, board games or hygiene products or just something that will make them feel really great this Christmas.
A lovely gift. Right. So we're working collaboratively with Catholic Charities. And Christina, thank you so much for setting it up with all of the young adult group leaders. So there are all sorts of ways for young adults to connect. You can donate online. You can do some shopping with some of your peers in various locations. All sorts of ways to connect.
And that website, Christina, is yamchicago.org.
Correct.
And we want you to look at that Christmas tree, click on it, and as Christina said, follow the prompts. And let's share our giftedness with someone else.